Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. He joins us now on the Stanley Fenson Gates Hotline. Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. Your thoughts there with the Mel Tucker move and just the impact on the transfer conversation that is ongoing with the NCAA and college football especially?
Well, I mean, I think it's what's happened not just at Michigan State and Colorado, but Mississippi State and Washington State and all these late cycle, you know, coaching changes. It just makes that Big Ten proposal for one-time transfers, you know, more likely to pass because, you know, kids who signed and a lot of them who enrolled in January, their lives changed dramatically since that point in terms of their football futures. So, you know, they should have control a little bit more of their football futures. Now, you know, they shouldn't have 100% control. I mean, they signed up and they need to, you know, stick to it. And they, there should be some limitations. You can't have free agency, but, you know, it certainly has to strengthen the case for that proposal to pass, which I think it will. And, you know, as long as this stuff continues to happen, especially considering, I mean, the thing that doesn't get talked about a lot is that you still have, you know, whether you have odd situations like this Michigan State thing or not, you still have the NFL coaching change cycle, which takes place, you know, 3 weeks after the early national signing period and enrollment. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of coaching changes anyway, no matter what the situation is in January. So, yeah, I mean, I think the one-time transfer proposal is more likely to pass because of this.
Will it pass for people starting next year? I mean, will 2020 see the right to transfer once without penalty?
Yeah, I think it could. I think it'll happen pretty quickly. I think when you have situations like this, you know, the NCAA is going to look at it, I think, in a certain way and say, hey, look, you know, the transfer portal, you know, it obviously is popular now. It's, I think, provided structure to a system that was already taking place anyway, but it was not necessarily brought in responsibly. And I think the education, or, you know, there's a lack of education with kids, and with players and coaches and, I mean, all these, you know, I don't think anybody knew, like, all the different tentacles. Like, you can't come back, or you can have your scholarship withdrawn if you enter, things like that. So I think they look at that as not necessarily a mistake, but the unintended consequences were not well thought out. And in a proposal like this, I mean, there really are no unintended consequences. You have a rule, one-time transfer. Then if you have to transfer a second time, it goes back to what it used to be. You sit out 1 year. And you have a strict set of parameters that would provide a waiver, sick grandma, sick mom, whatever. You know, it's easier, it's cleaner, and I think they recognize that.
We're talking to Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter. And Tennessee, a part of assistant coach moves from a few weeks ago and then more this week. Does anything stand out there, Barrett, as Tennessee does continue to have Jeremy Pruitt and then its same coordinators, Jim Chaney and Derek Ansley, who will be coming back, but shuffling through the rest of the staff?
Not really. I mean, I think the it's clear that Pruitt wants to have a you know, wants to continue to find recruiters that can also coach a little bit. I think he understands recruiting centric staff is going to get you a much better chance at being successful in a way that you want to be. So yeah, I mean, I think that what's been going on at Tennessee is it's pretty much the what happened with Kirby at Georgia. You get their players, you get the recruits, and then you figure out the X's and O's part later. And I think that's the right way to go about it, because a lot of these coaches, that they understand what they're doing. They've been with Pruitt. They understand, you know, his philosophy. So you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have any, you know, sort of gap between what they could be and, you know, an X's and O's, pure X's and O's guys from the pros. You know, they're not going to recruit well. Like Tosh Lupoy at Alabama, he went to the pros because he could not coach well. He was not an X's and O's guy because he never learned how to be that. A lot of these guys at Tennessee and other places as well, they're recruiters who still have learned under some of the best X's and O's coaches in the country, and as a result, they'll be able to work with what they got and stock that cupboard and move forward from there.
I mean, Barrett, I think all of us here in Tennessee should be happy with the recruiting class that Jeremy Pruitt pulled out. I mean, a top 10 nationally when you're looking at the 247 composite. But my question is, how many wins is it going to take in 2020 for Tennessee to nab an elite recruiting class? Because, as we all know, 10th in the country means that's only good enough for 7th in the SEC.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think wins is going to have a whole lot to do with it, because I think a lot of kids look at Tennessee right now and say, okay, look, what are you going to do for me personally, and what's the future hold long term? Because they look at Tennessee and say, okay, Jeremy Pruitt's a good coach, obviously well-regarded as a defensive coach. Is there playing time available? What kind of preparation am I going to get for the NFL? And, you know, at the same time, you know, is there a chance to win the SEC East? And the answer, I think, at Tennessee moving forward is probably, yeah, there's a chance. You know, and I think a lot of kids, gravitate towards situations like that, because if you can find a place where you can, A, play early, B, get trained for the NFL, B, play early, C, win national championships and SEC championships, then you're going to be attracted to that, you know, especially those kids who want to play early and feel like they can play early and can play early. So I don't think wins has a whole lot to do with it. I think all Jeremy needs to do is show, you know, positive momentum and be able to prove, hey, look, you know, the end of the 2019 season was the start of something, and in 2020, the momentum kept going forward. Not there yet. You can help us get it there. And as long as there's that selling point, I think they'll be fine.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Barrett, how much would you have charged the Astros to go in a different direction with their PR approach yesterday?
Oh, my God. Like, that would be, like, that was, everything about that was terrible. I look, and the only thing that was good about that was Carlos Correa, like, actually, you know, owning things. But, I mean, my God, what an abject disaster. You know what they did? I guarantee you they paid for over $1 million for that guidance to have that concert, which is just, or that, that press conference, which is just insane. Like, that stupid money being spent on that. I cannot believe that. It was, that's going to be taught in PR class, in like sports management classes. And like, watch this whole process from November 11th to yesterday. Do the opposite. Do the opposite. Everything they do the exact other thing, and you'll be fine. It's been a disaster.
So, Barrett, put yourself in the Astros' shoes. They're obviously not sorry. They don't care. They got the World Series championship.
Don't care.
Yeah. So, is it better to just say nothing and skirt the issue, or do the fake apology like they did?
I think they're trying. Mean, to me, it feels like they got into the situation where they don't care, obviously, but they tried to have some sort of regret publicly. And because they feel like, it's sort of like a team that gets caught in college sports, right? Like they got caught, they understand, they screwed up, they really like winning, they're still intoxicated by winning, and they don't want the league to investigate further. So they're just kind of trying to do this half-assed apology to try to get everybody off their backs. And, you know, maybe the league gets off their backs, but my God, it's doing way more harm than good. It's unbelievable how bad this has been for them.
Yeah, but wildly entertaining. Speaking of, before you go, any predictions with the final four now set in The Bachelor?
Oh, I think it's Madison all the way. I think Madison's the front runner from the beginning. I think Madison moving forward, man, I can't wait to watch that that hometown with Bruce Pearl next week, or I guess Monday. But yeah, she's my favorite for sure. I mean, there's no doubt. And my God, like last week, is the idea that, and I made this joke, when you're a contestant and you start saying, okay, I need to tell him about who she really is, that's the equivalent of like Kyle Shanahan going into the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl with a 2-score lead. Like, you're going to fail at that point.
What a great analogy. So if Madison wins, who's going to be the Bachelorette? Hannah's too young, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's the other great one. Yeah, Hannah Ann, she's the other just awesome candidate.
I wouldn't mind it being Hannah Ann. I think Hannah Ann, but if Madison wins, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of, who is the Tammy girl that went crazy? That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I just want to get nuts. I might go to a previous season. I might go Ari style and go backwards.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I think Madison. What do you guys think? You think it's
I think Madison's the winner, unless there's some just wild twist that we're not ready for. But I think Madison is the favorite here.
And for me, Barrett, because I still don't watch the show, Reality Steve Reality Steve. I get all the answers. You can ask my husband. I get all the answers from the spoilers. And Josh, I always ask him, can I tell you what's going to happen? And he says no.
Yeah. By the way, she's from Houston, so no surprise in the lying there from Heather just a second ago, Barrett.
Yes, exactly. It's the Houston. Incidentally, it's completely apropos of nothing. I discovered Cobra Kai because I had the flu. Cobra Kai on YouTube. Holy crap, that's the greatest show of all time.
Wait, and you have
the greatest show of all time.
You have this blind date show that's coming out on Netflix as well,
ooh,
so we're really getting a good run here.
It's really the best way to find out about new shows or shows you missed is get sick. That's word of advice.
Get sick.
At Barrett Salee, follow him there. Read his work, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ as well. Watch him there. Hey, Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, y'all.